Good morning, everybody. Good to have you with us today. Get you to open your Bibles to the passage Monty read there in Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to take a look at verse 3. And I know in your bulletin it says that the title of the message today is Light in the Lord and Blessed with Every Spiritual Blessing. But we're going to have to do part 1 and 2. We're going to begin with Blessed with Every Spiritual Blessing. I turned in my sermon thing first of the week, and then when I went back and was reworking everything, I realized that way more than what I can deal with. So we're going to look at, we're blessed with every spiritual blessing, item number 24, and then next week we'll look at being light in the Lord, which is item 25. I say item 24 and 25 because we're dealing with the 33 things that occur in a person's life when they come to faith in Christ. When you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as a believer, there were 33 different things that actually happened. And one of them that we're going to look at today is you're blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll take a look. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for this day and this opportunity. Thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing in Child Evangelism Fellowship in Kenya and for blessing this work and for them to be able to get the gospel last year, Father, to 1.2 million children. And, Father, that they'd be able to just continue to expand that and they would see increased fruit and, Lord, we would see lives changed as a result of it. But all glory goes to you, Lord, for what you've done. We're just grateful we can be a part of it. And Father, we just pray that we could expand our outreach and our assistance in so many other areas, Lord, that are even beyond our comprehension. So Father, we ask for your divine hand there and for your will there. And Lord, we pray now as we go to your word, pray that you would open your scriptures up to us, grant us insight and understanding and direct me as I try to teach this. Help me to explain it clearly and accurately. And Lord, I pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You look at your passage before you, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, and Paul says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Now, let's just begin with, what does he mean when he says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the word there for blessed is not what's the normal word that we think of. The word here is eulogio. It's where we get our word eulogy from. And what is a eulogy? Well, eulogy is something that's usually spoken at a funeral, and it's to say something good about the person that has passed on. When you give a eulogy, you give a good word for the person. Well, in the Greek, the word that is used here means literally the same thing. It means to give a good word to God for what he has done. It means to praise and honor God for what he has done on our behalf, to speak well of him, to extol him for his intrinsic worthiness. He has poured out on us blessings, and we respond to him. Therefore, he is praised. And the idea is that it all begins with God. That's the whole thing about salvation. And as we've gone through these 33 things, I hope that you're beginning to pick up on it or beginning to see that, hey, you know, everything that we have is a direct result of God. It's a direct result of what God has done. And God acts upon our behalf. But so many people in our society today have an improper understanding of their relationship with God. Not only believers, but also unbelievers. Because quite often, I heard twice this week on the news, and then two times also in just interacting with people, where they made comments to the effect, how could God do something like this? Or how could God allow something like this? In one of the cases, it had to deal with a situation of a murder, and they were talking to this woman, and it was about her child, and she says, how could God let something like this happen. And the mindset among most people is that life should be free of any struggles or problems or difficulties. And if I encounter anything difficult in life or something that causes me hardship, it's God's fault for not doing something about it. As if God owes us something. As if God is supposed to sit there and keep it from happening to us. Okay? What people don't realize is that when we read here, when it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing," understand this. He is putting a blessing upon people that don't deserve to be blessed. It's an abundant blessing is what it is. In essence, God is giving you and me something we don't deserve. What do we deserve? We deserve judgment. We deserve the wrath of God. That's the position that we're in. Okay? Look with me at Romans 3. Let's just look at what Paul says there in Romans 3. In Romans chapter 3, and we're going to begin at verse 9. Romans chapter 3, verse 9. In Romans chapter 1, Paul deals with the guilt of the Gentile. Romans chapter 2, he deals with the guilt of the Jew. In essence, what he says is Gentiles are totally undone. They're done before God because of their sin. Jews, you have the Word of God, you have the covenants of God, and yet you're done before God. There's no hope for you. And then so in chapter 3, he takes the Jew and the Gentile and puts them together and says all of mankind is done in the presence of God. Look at verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all gone out of the way. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Now, I want to stop just for a minute there because there is a common misconception among people and among Christians also that man does good, okay? And many Christians will say that, well, I'm doing good. I've been living a good life and things such as that. You understand what the Bible says? The Bible says no man does good, okay? Jesus, when he was teaching in front of a group of people, and a guy came up to him and said, "Good teacher, may I ask you a question?" He says, "Why do you call me good?" He says, "There is not but one good, and that one good is God." In essence, what the Bible teaches is the only being that produces good is God. Now, that's hard for us to accept and hard for us to understand because people all the time say, well, I did good. I did something good. If we do good, it is because God has done it through us. You understand? That bothers people when they hear that kind of stuff. But, folks, that's what the Bible teaches. The only good in me is what the Holy Spirit produces in my life when I align with God and His Word. It is God producing Himself through me. Now, I've got to take steps to get in position to do that, and those, yes, are acts on my part. But when good is actually produced, it is a product of God because the Bible says there is none who does good, no, not one. And that includes you. And includes me. We do not do good. Look what else he says. He says their throat is an open tomb. And their tongues, with their tongues, they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Exactly what I saw. You know, those people said, how could God do something like this? Why would God do it? They're attributing evil, or they're trying to propose that God is somehow evil because he allowed sin to work out in a fallen world. He said, their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery is in their way. And the way of peace they have not known. There's no fear of God before their eyes. He says, we don't even fear God. We don't even care about that. Look in Romans chapter 5. Look down at verse 10. He says, Romans 5:10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. He says, our standing before God is we were enemies of God. We were enemies of God. There's none good. There's none who seeks after God. All have gone out of their way. In other words, he says, mankind is a total wreck as a result of sin. You can go further even in the Old Testament, because the Old Testament says that all of our works of righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God, because all we can produce is sin. That's what a sinner produces, is sin. So if good is done, it's by God. But folks, look at this. Look what, back to Ephesians. Look at Ephesians. I see you trying to sleep out there. I'm fixing to hit this pulpit. 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Stop and think about that for a minute. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual. How can God bless us? The key to understanding that's in that very verse. Look at it. In the heavenly places, in Christ. Underline that phrase, in Christ. In Christ is your position and my position. It's because I am in Christ that God can bless me. So, it's because of him that I'm blessed. Now, how can God bless me in Christ? Well, let me explain it. Let's just take this pulpit, for example. Let's play like the pulpit is the cross, okay? What God did on the cross is, when Jesus went to the cross, Jesus was innocent, without sin, holy, without blemish, without spot, without blame. He was the Lamb of God, is what he was. And what God did is he took everything of me that causes God's wrath to come upon me, which is my sin. He took my sin and he put my sin on the person of Jesus Christ. When my sin was on the person of Jesus Christ, God poured out his wrath on him and he judged my sin on Jesus Christ. He condemned my sin. And Jesus Christ died and paid the debt for my sin. He took my judgment. But at the same time, God took all of Jesus that was good, his righteousness, holiness, everything about him that was good, and he put it to my account. And that was actually effected in my life when I believed that Jesus was my sacrifice, when Jesus' death paid the debt for my sin and I believed in Jesus, it was accredited to my account. It's a by faith righteousness that's given to me. And it says it is in Christ. So when I come to faith in Christ, I am actually placed in Christ. And because I'm in Christ, and God loves the Son with an infinite love, he pours out blessings on me because I stand before him with the righteousness of Christ, having my sin already been judged. Wow, you think about that. God blesses me because I am in the Son. My position in Christ is what brings blessing into my life. God does not bless me because I obey him. God does not bless me because I do good. God does not bless me for what I do. God blesses me for who Christ is. God blesses me for what Christ has done on my behalf. Therefore, as Pastor Cavulli and his team and Peter And all the people would come and speak to us about Africa. What do they always say when they talk about these statistics? What do they say? Give all the glory to God. And so that's what the Christian life is about. It's about giving the glory to God because God blesses us because he's already dealt with what separates us from him. Hallelujah. It's all about God. God is the one that has done it for us. But see, in America especially, in our Christianity, man thinks, I've done something to rate the blessings of God. I've aligned myself. And there's plenty of people that would teach you that malarkey too. I've aligned myself with God. Therefore, I've become a channel for the blessings of God. Hallelujah! You can be like me. That's not the Bible, folks. The Bible is Jesus died in my place on the cross as a substitute. I believed and I received. I received because of God's grace, not because of anything I've done. God has blessed me in his grace and in his mercy, for I'm totally undeserving. I'm totally undeserving of anything of God. And I'm just blessed by God. Look at this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. You're not going to be blessed. You have been blessed. He says, has blessed. That has, or that word blessed, is in the aorist, and that means effective, completed action in the past. It's already occurred. It occurred in the person of Christ Jesus. Who is the us that he speaks of there? The us is the Apostle Paul and the saints in Ephesus and all faithful in Christ Jesus. That means if you're a believer, you're a recipient of this also. God has blessed us, and look at this, with every spiritual blessing. The word there is pas, and it means all-inclusive, no exceptions, all to its entirety, meaning that God has not withheld a blessing, and I've got to do something to get that last little portion of blessing. God's already given it all to me. He's front-loaded it to me because I've done nothing to deserve it. God has blessed me abundantly because of Jesus Christ, because of my position in Jesus Christ. Now, what are the spiritual blessings in heavenly places? What is that? Well, let's just name a few. How about redemption? How about reconciliation? How about access to God? How about I'm a child of God? How about I've been reconciled to God? I have been regenerated by God. All the things that we've been studying in the 33 things that relate to salvation is just 33 of the blessings that we have. That we have been blessed abundantly by God because of our position in Christ Jesus. Because I am in Christ Jesus, the blessings of God reside upon my life. The blessings of God don't come upon me because of what I've done. The blessings of God come upon me because of what Christ has done. It is not me meriting the favor of God. It is me receiving the grace of God. It is not me working for God's approval. It is me being accepted in the beloved. It is not me striving to line up with God, it is God putting me in line with him. That's the whole idea of the Christian life. That is the whole idea of being blessed by God, that God has taken care of us. Look down at verse 6, if you would. It says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved. See, he's made us acceptable to himself. Do not, I strive to beat this home to people. Do not get caught up in a mindset that is a works-based salvation. Our salvation and the blessings of our salvation, folks, are a free gift from God. They are a blessing from God. They are given to us based on the merits of Christ Jesus and not upon the merits of ourselves. But see, the problem with sin is sin causes us to be self-focused or self-centered is the idea. And so we think of everything from our angle, okay? We think of everything from, surely I did something to deserve that. I mean, there's something in me that has caused God to love me more than you. Where do you think that comes from? It comes from the flesh. It doesn't come out of the pages of the Bible. It comes from the flesh, either yours or someone else's that's taught you that. Let's just look real quickly. Look at John 15:5. John 15:5. I just want to give you some backup scriptures. John 15:5 says, let me give you time to get there. If not, look at the screen. 15:5. Y'all there? I know where we're going. God wrote the message. I mean, I get there quicker. Everyone there? I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Look at this. For without me, you can do nothing. In essence, that means you can do nothing of any good apart from Christ. Now, that's a shock to some people because we're preloaded with See, when you have a preconceived idea about something and it's wrong, everything that works out from that preconceived idea is going to be wrong. It's a basic principle of logic. If you've ever taken logic or philosophy, the philosophy of argument, for example, if you have an incorrect premise statement, every one of your supporting statements is going to be incorrect because you're starting out wrong. And so you start out with the idea that I can do good or I'm capable of doing good, which is contrary to the Bible, then every conclusion that comes from that is going to be incorrect too. He says right here, you can do nothing. But look at this part. What does this mean? I am the vine, you are the branch, and he who abides in me. What does that mean? I thought we were in Christ. But he says, if you abide in me, the idea is this. Abiding in Christ means that you are in Christ, but what God wants you to do in your life is to live your life in Christ. Because when you live your life in Christ, what's going to happen? You're going to produce fruit in your life. In essence, it's this. Your position is in Christ Jesus, but he wants your condition in him too. He wants you to live your life in him. He wants you aligned with him. Because without him, see, when I'm aligned with Christ, then God can produce good out of my life. If I'm outside of Christ, Jesus said, you can't do anything. You can't do a single thing unless you're abiding in me. Because when you abide in me, the Spirit of God produces the fruit of the Spirit. When I don't abide in Christ, I'm living in my flesh. And my flesh only produces what? The deeds of the flesh. So what do I want to do? I want to abide in Christ is what I want to do. I want to walk in him and live in him. Why? So God can produce things that are worth through my life. Look at the next passage. You say, what is the next passage? Galatians 2. Galatians 2 and 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Very familiar passage that you often hear quoted. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, meaning in my body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See, it's Christ's life living through me that produces good. Okay? Let's look at one more passage. Look at Colossians 3 and look at verse 4. Colossians 3 and 4. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. What does he say in that passage? When Christ, who is our life. See, it is Christ's life lived through me that brings glory to God. It is a holy life, a daily life. It is a life living out the blessings of God. And when we understand life from that perspective, you know what? We'll have a whole different view of the world around us. Whole different view. Because when you begin with a wrong understanding about something, everything that you work out of that assumption is going to be wrong too. I got an illustration here. The illustration's about Arthur Ashe. That probably dates a lot of people in here. But there's folks in here that remembers Arthur Ashe, right? Great tennis player. You young folks don't remember him, but he was a phenomenal tennis player. And he was not related to the Kardashians, okay? So you probably never heard of him, all right? Listen to this. Tennis superstar Arthur Ashe died of AIDS, which he contracted from a blood transfusion during heart surgery. More than a great athlete, Ashe was a gentleman who inspired and encouraged many with his exemplary behavior, both on and off the court. I mean, he was a man of character. That's what you can say about Arthur Ashe. Ashe could have become embittered and self-pitying in the face of his disease, but he maintained a grateful attitude. Listen to what he said. Quote, "If I ask why me about my troubles, I would also have to ask why me, God, about my blessings. Why my winning at Wimbledon? Why my marrying a beautiful, gifted woman and having a wonderful child?" Ashe's attitude rebukes those of us who often grumble, "Why me? Why is God allowing this to happen?" Even if we're suffering acutely, we must not forget the mercies God pours into our lives. Such things as food, shelter, and friends. Blessings that many in the world are deprived of. And what about spiritual blessings? We can hold the very Word of God in our hands and read it. You realize what a blessing that is? Do you realize that most of the people in the world can't do that? Most people in the world don't have access to Bibles. Okay? Or if they do, they've got to be very secretive about it. There are areas of the world that when they get a Bible, they literally tear pages out of the Bible and pass it around to where people can get an opportunity to read it. But when you hold the Bible and you read the Word of God, you are reading the very Word of God and you're holding it in your hands. We have the assurance of His saving grace, the comfort of His Holy Spirit, and the joyful assurance of life everlasting no matter what we go through in this life. Think about God's blessings and ask this, why me? Then your grumbling will give way to praise. Then a quote from a song by Oatman. When upon life's billows you're tempest tossed, when you're discouraged thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and you will be surprised, or it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Praise comes naturally when you count your blessings. And we are blessed by God. Folks, everything in this life, we're blessed. I remember as a young boy, I was around 7 or 8, and I had a misconception in life. And my misconception in life was that all dogs in the world were like my dog. In other words, he was nice, friendly, kind. And I'll never forget the day that perception of dogs was shattered. Because I went over to a friend's house, and his little dog was barking at me. And he had a dachshund, a wiener dog. And a little feisty little wiener dog, too. And this dog was barking at me, running around, and so I just said, "Hey, settle down, fella, let me be calm." And I reached down to touch him, And that little wiener dog began at the end of my fingers and worked his way up my hand and got me right here with his little wiener dog teeth and bit in there. You know, that little, their little nose, they got kind of like a long pointy nose, and he could fit right between my thumb and forefingers. And when he got a hold of there, he clamped down and went doing the wiener dog shake, that body, a whole whipping action of that. And I was like, whoa, man, that dog, he tore me up. He tore me up. You know why that happened? I had a preconceived idea about that dog that wasn't real. And that preconceived idea led to a lot of pain in my life. And when you have incorrect perceptions about God or incorrect perceptions about this life, it brings a lot of unnecessary hurt into your life. You understand that? It's only when we think right about God and we think right about man and we think right about sin that we can begin to make sense out of the world that we live in. Because if we think wrong about God, if we think wrong about ourselves, if we think wrong about sin, then when we experience life, you know what's going to happen? We're going to be confused and disappointed in life. But when we see life from the Word of God, the way God's revealed it, we understand something. We are people that are totally undeserving of anything from God, incapable of producing any good, and yet God in His grace, God in His mercy, and God in His love has poured out blessings on my life and has placed me in Christ Jesus, and I am blessed with every spiritual blessing that there is. Folks, you can't have anything better than that as far as life goes. You can't be any wealthier than that, because that is truly the riches of God poured out on us. We are beneficiaries of God's grace. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we come before your throne in prayer. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, God, that you have given us your grace. That, Lord, undeserving as we are, you have poured blessings out upon your people, and we thank you for it. Father, I pray if there's one here today that has never trusted Christ by faith, they've never really understood what it means for Christ to be their sacrifice, their substitute, that they would come to faith today, Lord, that they would trust in Christ alone and trust that He died for their sins and quit trying to earn favor or merit favor with you, God, but trust in what you've provided. Father, I pray that. I pray, Father, those of us that know Christ would rest in the realization of the blessings that we have from you. And, Father, that we would bless you in our prayer and in our song and in our life, for you alone are worthy. We pray all this in Christ's name, Lord. Amen.